Welcome to episode 19 of Eagle's Eye Report for Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. I'm your host, Roger Landry, TLV, and my co-host is Stephen Roberts, who I will bring in after I do our usual intro. The title of today's show is Economic Chance or Intention? And we'll get into exactly what that means, although I'm imagining that most of you have a clue at this point. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truths and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. Why do I say that every week? Look around you. Telling the truth today is not something that gets you patted on the back. It's not something that gets you praise. It's not, unless it's from somebody who's as awake, and I didn't say woke, I said as awake as you are, or is not working for the team that's trying to put us all in a grave, or something similar. And no, I say this every week, but it's the truth. This is not a pleasant way to introduce a show. But today's reality is blatant and not very pleasant in many aspects. This is the exact reason for the Eagle's Eye Report. This show airs live weekly on Shake and Wake Radio, our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio and SoFlo Radio. How are you today, Stephen?
Got lots of sleep, but I'm still tired.
Okay, if your brain's working half as fast as mine is, then I have pity for you. Okay. First off, let me get to a point that I like to make going forward in every show, and I have for the last couple of shows, and that is, how do you support Shake and Wake, as well as the other two great stations who play our show live, which is PSN Radio and SoFlo Radio? Do me a favor, okay? A lot of you are generous. You listen to these shows live. And occasionally you go in and you make a donation, and that's great, and it's very, very much appreciated. The problem with that is, and there really isn't a problem with that, but the way to make that even better is the way I should have said it, is to go in and if you figure you can do $5 a month or $10 a month, make this a reoccurring donation. What's the reason for that? The reason for that is if you go in every once in a while and put in $15 or $20 or even $25, this is greatly appreciated, but there is no continuity to that. It's not something that can be counted on. It's not something that can be used to, say, start a new service that they know is going to cost a specific amount each month because they don't know how much they can count on coming in on the donations. What I tell people on TLB Talk Radio is if you want to come in and do a $15, $20, $25 donation every once in a while, again, appreciate it. But even if you go in once, one time and do a $5 donation and click the button that says make this a reoccurring donation or a monthly donation, what you have just done is you put a little bit of continuity into their scenario. They know going forward, there's a good chance, a very good chance, because you click that button, that you're going to be automatically giving them $5 each month. Now, this goes to the bottom line. If you get enough of those, then you can do what I said a few seconds ago. You can start a new service. You can expand a service because you know you have revenue you can count on. I'm not asking you to go into these three platforms, especially Shake and Wake, and Annie's been a friend of mine for many years, so I have a special spot in my heart for Annie. But if you go in and you do a $5 or even a $10 donation and you click that box that says make this a reoccurring donation, you have just helped this platform by giving them the knowledge this is something they can count on to grow and improve this platform for you. A lot of these, especially these three platforms, I would imagine a lot of the funds either come out of their own pocket or those who can help, because I don't think nowadays donations are a huge plus. In other words, nobody's getting $1 million a week in donations. So again, a $5, $10, $15, whatever you figure you can do, and hit that make this a monthly donation button. And what you've done is you've given them the ability to give you more and feel comfort in the level of being able to assure you of this. You think that makes sense, Steve?
Yes, it does. There's Patreon out there, too, so somebody can...
Yep.
A monthly Patreon.
And again, even if it's not Patreon, even if it's PayPal, there is a reoccurring button there you can click. All right, so let's get into this show just a little bit deeper. First off, everything that you hear on this show today, wherever it came from, the references will all be, as you all know by now, in an article that gets published on Thursday by noon central on the LibertyBeacon.com. So if you miss something, if you want to know where I got information from, so on and so forth, all of this is available always the day after on the LibertyBeacon.com by noon central, the latest. Okay, again, this is Eagle's Eye Report. This is episode 18. And we're starting out with economic chance or intention. In other words, is what's going on around us something that we've tripped into, or have we been dragged into it kicking and screaming, or in some cases blindly? Because there are still people out there who really don't think it's all that bad, and that's simply because they're not exposed to enough of it, or they're not awake to enough of it. So let's get into this and let's discuss some of these things. A good deal of the time I find a great article that I need to help support what I say when I do these shows. And when I do use portions of an article, I love to give credit to the platform and the author. And again, I'm going to use an article today for a portion of what I'm going to deliver to you and this article, and the link will be in the article tomorrow that I just described. The article that I'm going to be taking pieces and parts from is 12 numbers that may that show we're getting dangerously close to an economic crash. This is by Michael Schneider, and it's from his blog. Again, tomorrow you will have the full article to look at. Am I going to give you the full article? No. Am I going to take bits and pieces from it that I feel are germane and pertinent to the discussion today? Yes. Is it worth reading his entire article? Yes, it is. Again, I've known Michael for a long time. We have been sharing Michael's information for many years. If I didn't think he was worth the effort or the time or the mention, it wouldn't be here. Okay, so as you've heard over and over and over again, what we are witnessing today harkens straight back to 2008. If I had a nickel for every show I said this on, I'd be a rich man, even with inflation, which we're going to discuss, because I've discussed points over and over again that people have told me I'm crazy on, but this will be the third source backing up what I've been telling you. I'm one of those people that says one source, I may discuss it, I may bring it up. Two sources, I may be poignant about it. Three sources, I'm going to tell you this is pretty close to, if not a fact. So today we're going to get down to what I consider to be damn near facts. Okay? All right. So this doesn't mean that this new crisis will unfold exactly the same way the one in 2008 did, because ultimately every economic disaster is unique in many aspects. But the fact that we are seeing so many parallels between what, I don't know, what is today's warning signs and those presented to us 14 years ago should be setting off alarm bells in all of us. Now, for all of you out there listening, and there actually may be some who are in your early to mid 20s, the 2008, and it was a housing bubble and along with other things, economic crisis may not be very sharp in your mind, okay? Because 14 years ago, you were 10 years old. But if you're my age, and I just turned 68, if you're Steve's age, and I think, what, you're 96, Steve?
105, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that was a joke for everybody. Steve's not in his 90s. Okay, so this is very, very clear in memory to us because it was probably the biggest economic downturn the United States had seen since the Jimmy Carter days. And we'll get into that a little bit, okay? And the ones in Jimmy Carter's days were almost as bad, but not quite as bad as the Great Recession or Depression. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well, because some of the yardsticks we're measuring all of this by get very close to the biggest economic downturn this country has ever seen. So anybody who's taking this lightly needs to back up and reassess. What you're looking at today has the ability to make life living hell for not only the people in America. You people have to stop trying to figure just what's happening in your local neighborhood. You need to understand the big picture because it is a big picture. What we're seeing here is going on in England. What we're seeing here is going on in France. It's going on in Australia. It's going on, and I could go on and on and on. It's literally going on all across the planet. We are looking at economic milestones and disasters taking place on a regular basis today. But this discussion is pretty much what are we looking at. Why? Because we are supposed to be, and we are still to this day, the largest economy on the planet. Where goes America? How many people have heard that? Where goes America, goes the world. And in a lot of instances, that's quite true. Okay? We appear to be sliding straight into another economic crash, and all of the solutions that our leaders are giving us, like Joe Bob, and the Dummycrats, yeah, that's become my favorite new word for Democrats, Dummycrats. And the Dummycrats seem to be making things even worse. Let me say that again. We appear to be sliding straight into another economic crash, and all the solutions our leaders, meaning Joe Bob and the Dummycrats, give us just seem to make things even worse. So is that intentional? Or are they really that ignorant or stupid? If we knew for a fact that spending money in huge gobs irresponsibly was going to increase inflation, why the hell would we spend $1 trillion on, I don't know, bailing out $10,000 worth of loans for college students, most of whom are going to benefit from these, come from families that are well above the average income. Why would we do that? To buy votes. You're being told it's $300 billion. It's not. It's almost $1 trillion. Okay. This is, and we also, let's talk about the, you know, the Inflation Reduction Bill. The one that's supposed to reduce inflation, but it turns out that well over $1 trillion goes down the hole again on things going to buddies and back office deals, so on and so forth. A lot of this money is being spent so irresponsibly, it's insane, but yet it goes against the American debt. We're looking at $2 to $2.5 trillion worth of money, plus the $1.5 trillion that was basically for the pandemic relief. I'm not telling you that Americans didn't need part of that. I'm saying it could have been done in a whole different process. We are looking at Democrats or Dummycrats telling us that this was a mechanism to bail America out and it would not cause inflation. It would be paid for. It would pay for itself. Anybody who believed that, you're a freaking moron. On a scale of 1 to 10, you're minus 20. It goes on the backs of you and your children. That's an absolute fact. Okay? Will it buy votes? Yes, it will. But I'm kind of wondering about that, too, because Americans are getting to the point where they're so pissed off right now that even giving them a few extra bucks that they can burn through in a week or two isn't going to make them happy anymore. Hopefully, someone out there can find a way to pull a miracle out of a hat or out of their butt, whatever works. And the worst case scenario could still be avoided. But I wouldn't place a bet on that happening. So let's go over some of the blatant signs showing us getting dangerously close to another economic crash as the fall of 2022 approaches. And believe me, there's plenty. Okay, but we've got a few picked out that just may, I don't know, it may strike a chord in what most of you are seeing. First off, the government is telling us that the unemployment rate only went up to 3.7% in August. That's it, 3.7%. Except we know the government lies to us. Anybody today, look, hey, Steve, does the government lie to us?
No, come on.
Anybody today who even considers thinking for a nanosecond or a picosecond, which is a nanosecond. Yes, I know, nano. Anyway, if you stop to consider anybody who thinks our government doesn't lie to us, has any intelligence at all. Okay, so they're telling us that in August, the unemployment rate only rose to 3.7%. But according to John Williams of shadowstats.com, I'm giving you this, and it will be in the article tomorrow with the show embedded in it, so you can go and look. This is not the government telling you. These are real people with real economists doing real research, giving you real answers. According to John Williams, if honest numbers were being used, the real rate of unemployment in the United States could be over 24%. Now, wait a minute. The government is telling us 3.7%, so let's round that off to 4%. And other statistics, non-government related, are telling us that that could in fact be 24%. That's a huge difference, people. It really is. But anybody out there who's surprised, don't be, because there's more surprises coming. There are. We just started. All right, what's the next point? About half of all U.S. companies say they will be eliminating jobs within the next 12 months. Now, they're not eliminating jobs because they don't want to sell products. They're not eliminating jobs because they want to make their business smaller. They're not eliminating jobs because they don't want to make as much money. They're not eliminating jobs because they wish to. They'll be eliminating jobs because they have no choice but to. When the value of the dollar tanks, when taxes have to go up in order to pay for a monstrous debt made by irresponsible politicians, when inflation continues to rise, and we're getting to that, to a level that is catastrophic, then it affects business. The sad part of this is that the businesses it affects first are the ones that actually support America. All of you out there who believe that America is supported by the Ford Motor Companies, by the General Motor Company, and General Motors is about to go down. Yeah, bankrupt. Or all of these huge companies, you're wrong. Between 17 and 20% of this country is supported by the tax base of these companies, a lot of whom are so creative and have such good lawyers that they're making hundreds of billions of dollars a year and paying less tax than a medium-sized company would. Not a joke, an absolute fact. So the people who support this country, who allow that tax base to remain there so at least some of those funds can be used for the betterment of our society. 80% to 85% of that comes from the medium to small size mom and pop businesses. The businesses on Main Street, small town USA. The businesses on any inner city Broadway. These are the businesses that literally support America. This is where over 80% of the income of this country comes from when we discuss the business base. And these are the ones that are going to be laying off a lot of people over the next 12 months. These are the ones that will be hurt the hardest, will take the biggest impact, and will be forced to shutter their businesses, close them down, either temporarily or indefinitely, long before Ford does, long before Raytheon does, long before General Electric does, and I could go on and on. They don't get any special breaks from the government. They don't get it. Well, we won't even go into that because that's another whole show in itself, and I plan on doing one. All right. So basically, within the next 12 months, at least half of the countries in the United States will be laying people off or eliminating the jobs totally. All right. The next point is the government is telling us that the inflation rate in the United States is only 8.5%. What do you think, Steve? Is it 8.5%? Huh?
No. I was trying to find something that I seen the other day, and there was a list of, I don't know how many, there was at least 40 companies that have sold out to China. GM was one of them. General Electric was another one. So many, many brand name companies that people would know have sold out to China. So, you know, what's going to happen when the roosters or when the chickens come to roost, or however that's said?
Well, for all of you who don't know, let's talk about China for a second. You got us on that divergent path, so let me spit a little bit of information out as far as China goes. The housing bubble in 2008 was massive in the United States, and it caused a lot of economic damage. We had CEOs and CFOs from companies jumping off of high-rise buildings and suiciding because things got that bad that quick. What is happening in China right now makes our housing bubble look small. What is happening in China right now is massive. There are literally tens of millions of unfinished apartments and houses that people were already making payments on. Yeah, mortgage payments. That's how they do it in China. You want a house? Okay, we'll build you a house. But you got to start making payments on it right now. Then what they do is they take the money that you're paying for your mortgage for a house that hasn't been built yet, and they use that to fund the building of other homes. So it's basically a pyramid scheme. What we are about to see in China is the popping of a bubble that's going to make our 2008 housing bubble look small. We're talking about something that is going to have massive repercussions across the entire globe, because a lot of the money that is in this is not necessarily from China.
Say, so, Roger.
Yeah.
I heard probably about 2012 or 2013, somewhere in that area, that it was going to be a race between the school loans and the commercial mortgage loans that were going to burst first. Did you hear that too?
I got to jump back to these points, but you're making brilliant points. I would tell you that we need to do a bubble show next week. I'm serious.
Sure.
Because this is a lot bigger and it is global. It's not just the United States. It's not just China. It is global. And these are points that we need to not only bring up, but we need to beat up. And if we do that, we're not even going to get to our next point here because there's way too much to be said about that. So hold your points. And when you and I discuss next week's show, whatever you can throw in my direction that I can add to the show would be greatly appreciated, Steve. Okay?
I don't know if I can find that again, but sure.
We'll have a good discussion, if nothing else.
That's right.
All right. So here's the next point I want to make. And this is just absolutely insane because I have been beating this up for at least a month and a half now. The government is telling us that the inflation rate in the United States is only 8.5%. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. This is what I asked you all to do. I'm going to get to the statistics and where you can find this and back up what I'm saying. But how many of you remember on a show, Roger saying this to you? Anybody who thinks that inflation at the time, okay, was, I believe they said it was 9.1% and now it's back to 8.5. Anybody who heard me say this, well, you'll immediately smile. What I told you was to figure out and write down the cost of a dozen items you had purchased at least a year ago. Write down the cost of that item, go to the store, and go to those 10 or 12 items, whatever is on your list, and look at the existing price. Go back to your house, compare the two of them, and figure out the rate of increase. If you come up with 9% or anywhere in that vicinity, I'm going to kiss your naked butt on Broadway at high noon and let you sell tickets. It's not even going to be close. I was telling you back then that inflation was anywhere from 16 to 18%. You're all going to remember that. I've repeated it over and over again. Now, where did I get that information? I didn't. I figured it out myself by comparing things. Roger does a lot. This is all Roger does. Roger gets up at 5 o'clock every morning and starts doing research, writing articles, doing shows, the whole nine yards. I haven't had a day off in almost 14 years. I do this every day. When I spit something out at you, information I'm talking about, when I spit something out at you, it's usually backed up by research that I have done that's credible. So when I started saying inflation is at least 16 to 18% and may soon be as high as 20%, I got a lot of kickback on that. No, the government says it's 8%. At worst case scenario, it's 9 or 10%. According to John Williams of shadowstats.com and others, but that's the immediate one you can go to, if the rate of inflation was still calculated the way it was back in 1980, the real rate of inflation would be somewhere around 17% right now. Gee, what did Roger say? It isn't 8%. You're being lied to. But hey, Steve, the government doesn't lie to us, do they?
No, not at all.
But here we go. I put my reputation on the line for the last almost 2 months telling everybody that the real inflation rate is at least 16 to 18%. And this company, which does this for a living, is not related to the government, that has no ties and actually does the real work on figuring these things out, is saying that if we weren't lying to the people, if we weren't calculating inflation in a different fashion to allow us to say it's a lower rate, gee, the government lying to you, it would be around 17%. Now, that is worse than anything we've experienced even during the Jimmy Carter era. Let me tell you something else before we go to break. And this will be the last thing I say before break. During the Great Depression, the height of the Great Depression, the worst, the worst level of inflation in this country was between 22 and 23%. But that was enough to wreak havoc on what was considered to be the most economically sound nation on the planet at the time. We had the fastest growing economy the world had ever seen in the 20s and the 30s. Nothing had ever happened like that. But yet 22 to 23% inflation was enough to wreak havoc across this entire country and put us into a depression the likes we've never seen before. And right now I'm telling you that the actual inflation we are seeing is between 16 before, is between 17 and 20%. And the worst inflation this country has ever seen and what threw us into the Great Depression was 22 to 23%. Gee, that isn't far off, is it? We're talking 18 to 20%, and the worst we've ever seen is 22 to 23%. It's not 8.4%. It's not 8.5%. They're freaking lying to you again. But hey, the government doesn't lie. Is it time for a break, Steve?
Certainly. Yes, it is.
Well, certainly. Hey, thank you, Steve.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So, what I'm telling you, and what I don't know, led up to and beat up pretty bad just prior to the break, is the fact that we aren't far off from the rate of inflation that literally helped to drive this country into the biggest depression we have ever seen, the biggest economic downturn this country has ever seen. And we're just a few points below that. If that's not enough to make you open your eyes and go, what the hell? But then again, we've only got 4% unemployment, not 24%. We've only got 8.4% inflation, not 17 to 20%. What else are they lying to us about? If you look around you at what is going on, you have to understand that the lies only go so far and then they implode. When all of these companies decide they cannot take it anymore, they must start letting people go. And all of a sudden, on a monthly basis, you are seeing millions of people each month losing their jobs. And the next month, millions more. And the next month, millions upon millions more. Will you start to believe that the government is lying to you? Because everything we're being told right now by the dummycrats, and these are the people in office, these are the people who know for an absolute fact that if you knew the truth, they wouldn't stand a snowball's chance in hell of being reelected. They run this country. This country is literally in the power grip of the dummycrats. They run the House. They run the Senate. They run literally the presidency, not the president, not Joe Bob. But the Democrats, they run the presidency. And the deep state is more blue than it will ever be red. Why? Because the blue side, the progressives, the liberals, border on socialism. And socialism borders on communism. So if you take the deep state, if you take, which we're all getting beat up on, I mean, FBI, CIA, DOJ, do you want me to go on? Huh? FDA, CDC, NIH, do you want me to go on? This is the deep state. When's the last time any of them were on your side? Stop and think about what Roger's saying. So if they own the deep state, these progressives, they own the Congress, which is the House and the Senate, and they control via the puppet strings the presidency, then the last thing they want is to lose that mechanism of power. Because they're using it to accomplish exactly what needs to be accomplished. You cannot have global governance, yeah, he's going to say it again, until America is brought to her knees, until the cowboys say, uncle! Take a look around you. So what will they do to maintain power? They won't tell you unemployment is actually 24%. They won't tell you inflation is actually 17 to 20%. They won't tell you any of this stuff. They won't tell you that somebody has made sure that more food processing plants have been destroyed in the last 2 years than in the last 25 years combined. And that pretty soon getting food may be next to impossible unless the government hands it to you, which gives them, oh, gee, even that much more power. Didn't Joe Bob stand on a pedestal about a year ago and tell us that food rationing and food scarcity was on its way? How did he know that it would be an increasing number of food processing plants being destroyed across the country at a rate this government, I mean, this planet has never seen? How did he know that farmers were being paid to slaughter their entire herds and they were being given, I don't know, they were being given a premium to do it? How did he know that farmers were going to be offered 1.6 times, in other words, 100% what they normally would get, plus 60% more, 160% of the value of their crops just to plow them under, not to sell them to you, to plow them under. So you get rid of the food, you get rid of the meat, you destroy the food processing plants. There cannot be that many accidents in 1 year when you consider it's more than the last 25 years combined. Is that a coinkydink? Anybody believe it is? So you're being told that it's a totally natural mechanism that food scarcity is about to smack you right upside the head. You're being told that unemployment is only at 3.7%, but it may get a little worse. You're being told that inflation went from 9.1% down to 8.4%, so we've got it under control. Everything's great now. And it's all lies. Can it be proven? Yeah, it can. And I gave you the numbers, and I'm willing to stand by them, and I'll give you the links where you can go and check. I don't lie. I don't exaggerate. I just say things with emphasis. All right. Anything to say on that before I go to the next point, Steve?
No, you're good. Go ahead, Roger.
I don't know how good I am, but you can usually tell when I'm on a roll. Okay. The number of Americans taking out, listen to me, you want to know how bad inflation is? Listen to me. The number of Americans taking out short-term loans to buy groceries has nearly doubled in the last year. I cannot afford to buy groceries with my paycheck for my family anymore. So I either need to put it against my credit card or I need to get a loan, a payday loan. I'm sure you've all heard of those. This is what people are doing to be able to buy food. When food is something that is one of the biggest stresses you have, your life has already gone to crap in a handbasket. The number of Americans taking out short-term loans for groceries has nearly doubled in a year. And actually, it's not an entire year. This is based on this year, which means it has nearly doubled in the last 9 months. Three quarters of a year, not an entire year. What's it going to be like 6 months from now? One out of every five home sellers in the United States dropped their asking price in the past month. This is more evidence that home prices are starting to rapidly move in a downward direction. You want a real good sign that an economy is failing? Look at the rapid fall of real estate prices. And it's not so much some big high-rise building in New York City. And it's not so much a football stadium. And it's not so much a huge chunk of farmland. It's the average middle-class American home. When those start to drop, okay, it is a big red flag. In the last month alone, one out of five selling their home, okay, one out of five home sellers in the United States dropped their asking price. That's a huge red flag. It doesn't seem like much to you, but when you figure it into the economy and the direction of the economy, it's not a good sign. But this is one of the signs that the economists use to tell that the 2008 real estate bubble was about to pop. And guess what? Here we go again. How about sales of previously owned homes were about 20% lower in July than in July the year before? Listen to me. Sales of previously owned homes, meaning I bought a house from someone else, now I want to sell it. They're telling you that 2 out of 10 of those homes aren't selling. They're telling you that a 20% drop in the homes for sale from 1 July to the next. How about the next point? One recent survey found that, listen to me, people, one recent survey found that 3.8 million Americans believe they will be evicted from their homes in the next 2 months. I didn't say 2 years. I didn't even say 1 year. And this is not a small thing, because I put an article out and did a show on RBN, that's where my other show is, all about this. And there is a serious amount of defaulting going on rental contracts. People just cannot pay their rent. And for the longest time, the government was helping to take care of that because of COVID. And I don't know if people just got too comfortable having the government pay their rental fees, and all of a sudden that money's dried up, they don't have a job, and all of a sudden they're realizing they're not going to be able to pay their rent. Not only that, but how many of you out there, I don't know, what do you think the average is for across the entire country? And we're talking about for people, not businesses. What is the average rent for a home across the country today? I know that when I rented my first house, the average was about $540, and I thought that was a lot. I never thought it would get to $1,000. The average rent today for even a small home, a two-bedroom home, is over $2,000 a month. What does that work out to? Lower class individuals, and I don't mean lower class as in they're lesser people. I'm talking about their earnings, okay? The lower income bracket in this country earns somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000. The middle class is up around $60,000. And then the upper class is anything over about $120,000 to $150,000. All right? So let's say $20,000 to $30,000 is your lower income, or what is termed the lower class of employees in this country, or wage earners. All right. $24,000 is $2,000 a month. That's what it is. $2,000 a month rent is $24,000 a year. If that's what I'm earning, how the hell do I afford heat? How do I afford the internet? How do I afford water? How do I afford electricity? How do I afford groceries? This is where America sits right now. Even your middle class, which is, I believe, something like 45 to like 70 grand, with the average being right around 60 to 62 grand. But even if it's the case with them, and they're paying, say, $2,500 a month for a house, that's 30 grand a year. If you're making 45 grand a year, that leaves you $1,500 a month. I mean, leaves you $15,000 left over for an entire year for everything you need to support your family. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Stop and do a little bit of math, okay? A little bit over $1,000 a month. Your electric bill is probably going to be about $400. Today, it may even be $500. Your car payment's probably going to be about $400 or $500. Your grocery bill's going to be about $200 or $300. You're broke. Anything else, forget it. You can't have it. And this is middle class. This is middle class. Okay? So let's take all of this and put it into perspective. Where is America headed? Why are there about to be almost 4 million renters on the street in the next 2 months? Not a joke, not an exaggeration. The link will be in the article tomorrow. 4 million more on the street. Yeah. When's the last time you heard that from the government? Did they tell you that? No, but Steve and I did. Right, Steve?
Yes, sir. I hear that there is actually, what is it, 4 times as many homes as what there is homeless in America? But a lot of people don't even know that Ireland has it written in their constitution that they can... Someone can legally go into a house that's squatting. Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. And if you try to do something like that in America, somebody would probably shoot you. But again, that's another show. And we will probably get around to that point. Okay. Let's go to the next point here. Okay. According to the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. Okay. The National Energy Assistant Directors Association. Approximately 20 million, listen to me, 20 million U.S. households are currently behind in their utility bills. Well, let me see. I'm paying over $2,000 a month for my rent, and all of a sudden, Joe Bob decided we can't use oil anymore. We can't use natural gas anymore. We can't use coal anymore. So, yeah, the cost of my electricity went from $150 a month to $600 a month. I can't pay that. When's the last time Joe Bob stood up and said he was sorry? I'm going to interject something here, and I dare anybody to prove me wrong. I'm not asking you to. I'm daring you, because this is coming out more and more every day. Take a look at alternative media. You are finding out more and more every day that scientists across the planet are debunking the global climate change issue. The biggest buildup of Arctic and Antarctic ice in modern day history is happening. They were supposed to close down Glacier National Park in 2020. It was supposed to be closed. Why were they going to close it? Because the glaciers were all going to be gone. They were all going to be gone. So they had to close the national park. They're bigger than they ever were. Okay? The people living on Long Island, the people living right next to the ocean, can tell you there is an ebb and flow. And that does happen, because some years there's less ice and some years there's more ice. But the average is more. Okay, they will tell you that their houses, which are supposed to be underwater, aren't. They're not. But yet, we're looking at climate change, which is being used to drive all of the fossil fuels out of the economy, which, who does that hurt the most? Who? Does it hurt the rich people? Nope. They still fly their jets, their personal jets, which put more tonnage into the atmosphere of what they call, okay, bad gases, which aren't, okay? But yeah, they're not exactly the best things to breathe, but they're not causing global warming. But if they were, why are they allowed to fly their jets, which make them a contributor magnitudes above any individual such as you and me? If I had a private jet and I had a fleet of cars all over the country taking me wherever I wanted to go, I would literally be putting 1,000 times more, I don't know, of these gases into the atmosphere than you or I would. But they don't have to stop. California says by 2035, you can't own a gas car anymore, and they will lessen the number every single year until 2035. Except Gavin Newsom got on TV to tell everybody in California, if you got an electric vehicle, please don't charge it. You're going to bring the grid down. Whoa, whoa, what did Roger just say? They can't even support you charging your car. That's another whole show, because electric vehicles are not to save the planet. Electric vehicles and your inability to charge them, or only be allowed to charge them when you're told you can, are to control your whereabouts. That's another whole show. We're talking about the economy here. So we are using global warming to literally stifle the average person. Their electric bills are screaming up through the roof. 20 million U.S. households are currently behind on their utility bills, and a vast majority of them will never catch up. I've never heard of that. I know there have been people that can't afford to pay their bills. 20 million at one time? Totally unheard of. How about the Dow Jones Industrial Average has fallen for 3 weeks in a row now? Yeah, I just pulled that right out of the air. We also witnessed this sort of a gradual slide, gradual slide, prior to the big crash in 2008. How about one more? Let's throw one more into the pack. In August, a whopping 2,150 corporate executives sold off their shares in their companies. Are they trying to get cash while they still can? Let me repeat that, because this bears repeating. In August, a whopping 2,150. Yes, there'll be a link to this in the article with the show embedded in it tomorrow. 2,150 corporate executives sold off their shares in their companies. They said, I don't like where this is going. So guess what? I'm going to get what I can now. And this is running rampant. Gustavo Arnold was one of the corporate executives that recently sold off a large amount of stock. He's dead. Yep, he's dead now. The man who jumped to his death from the 18th floor of the famous Jenga Tower in Lower Manhattan, Tribeca's neighborhood Friday, has been identified as Bed and Bath and Beyond executive. He was 52 and the chief financial officer of Bed, Bath and Beyond, a company that has been going through struggles of late due to high inflation and a sagging economy. The company announced plans to close 150 stores out of roughly 900 stores and lay off 20% of staff just 2 days before Arnold's death. He reportedly sold over 42,000 shares in the company, oft identified as a meme stock, for $1 million just over 2 weeks ago, according to MarketBeat.com. It appears this guy was involved in what they're now calling a pump and dump scheme, and he may have decided that he didn't want to spend much of the rest of his life locked away in prison, so he jumped. Or there's a possibility he was chucked out of the window of an 18-story building. Stop and think about what I'm saying. This is what happened just prior to the huge economic downturn in 2008. Corporate executives did everything they could to pull as much cash out as quickly as they could in order to allow themselves to have some standard of living after the crash had really taken place. And those who were called to task on it by other officers within the company or by stockholders within the company, go back and take a look at how many executives jumped out of the windows of skyscrapers in New York City in 2008 and 2009. Far more than you can imagine. It was not unheard of to see something like that, two or three of those every single week in the news. And we're starting to see these again. So we've got 5 minutes left. Let's do a synopsis of what's going on here. Okay? For anybody who believes that this is an American issue being suffered by America, you're wrong. For anybody who believes that this was a natural occurrence, you're wrong. For anybody who believes that this hit maturation naturally, you're wrong. 2 years ago, or a little bit before that, this country was an economic powerhouse. We had the best economy we had seen in a very, very long time, if not ever. We controlled our trade across the planet. We had China doing what we wanted them to do in order to maintain the markets they wanted in America. Trump had cut back on all of the special deals China had just to be sure that we were being treated fairly. The dollar had gained strength it hadn't seen in decades. The military power of the United States was more respected globally than it had been in generations. African Americans and Hispanic Americans were more prosperous than they had ever been at any point in time in American history. And more of them were voting Republican than ever in history. Are you catching the drift? The border was pretty much locked down. Were some people sneaking across? Yeah, because the walls weren't done. What was the price of gas? When Trump went in, it was almost $3 a gallon. I remember. Okay, when Trump was about to leave office, I was paying $1.46. Now it's what? $4.90? $5.25? $6.50? Everything that you have just heard from me is 2 years old! If you can honestly look in the mirror and say these words, okay, this would have happened whether Trump was still in or Biden took over. This was a natural occurrence. You're full of crap. All of this was choreographed. None of this was occurring 2 years ago. And it's all happening now. This is the fascist destruction of the world's leading power we have ever seen. Nothing compares to this. Nothing. And if we don't wake up and say something about it, shut up and go back to sleep. Because America is on her last leg. Can we save America? You'll never ever hear me talking if it's absolutely useless. I'll shut up and go away. If I know there's nothing we can do, you won't hear me. I won't do this show anymore. If it is absolutely useless, I will go away. I will not bother you. It's not. But you sure as to hell better wake up. Because when anybody tells you Trump did this, it's a lie. And I'm not a huge Trump fan. It's just a lie. When they tell you that this is temporary, it's a lie. When they tell you this is all natural, it's a lie. This is all choreographed. You cannot cause this much destruction in the most powerful country and economy on the planet in 2 years unless it was pre-planned and planned damn well. And with that, I'm going to take a deep breath and say thank you very much, Steve, for being here with me and putting up with my exuberance and cutting in when you could.
Well, thank you, Roger. Thanks, everyone.
We'll talk to you next week.